Well, good morning, church. Hopefully everybody dried off. I was getting a little nervous because I don't have a jacket. Well, I have a jacket. I just don't like wearing jackets. And I was a little wet, so I look like I dried off pretty well, so it's all good. A lot of rain out there. Thankful you're here. Today is an awesome day for our church because in just a moment we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper. I just want to let you know that Pastor Sean is doing much better, and we pray that he'll be here in the next week or so. So we're excited to have him back. Thankful for our praise team and how they filled in. Marvin was here this morning. Many of you may not know, but Marvin is in the Navy and he's stationed in Virginia right now. So he was able to come down and worship with us. So we're very grateful for that. So my prayer for us this morning as we continue to worship our Lord is to prepare us for what we are about to do, to participate and celebrate Jesus Christ as we engage in the elements of the Lord's Supper. And one of the greatest passages, I think, that helps prepare us for the Lord's Supper is found in Hebrews chapter 4. And in Hebrews chapter 4, this is what the scripture tells us. The author of Hebrews says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." So as we look at this particular passage this morning, we're going to learn three incredible truths that come right out of this. And they're just not truths about Jesus, but they're really benefits for you and I if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, the reality is that God has created all things, but only those who have put their faith in His Son Jesus are actually God's children. And as a child of God, if you put your faith in Him, these truths that we're going to learn about the high priest, Jesus Christ, these are really benefits for us. And yet, I think we navigate through life so often without understanding and living in the very benefits that we have because of our great high priest, who is Jesus. And so here's the three truths that we're going to unpack this morning. The first one is this, and it may sound nonchalant in a way, but I want us to really fill out what the scripture is saying. The scripture is going to tell us that the first truth is this: I have a great high priest who is truly awesome. And you might be thinking, well, awesome? And we lose some of the weight of what awesome is because we apply the descriptive word awesome for so many different things, don't we? Well, that food was awesome, or that car is awesome, or man, when you hit that last shot in the basketball game yesterday, man, that was awesome. Or maybe you got a C on an exam, you're like, man, that's so awesome, I passed. So we use the word awesome in all different categories of life, and really, we've lost the awness, the distinctive mark of what that word really means, the weight of what awesomeness is. And the author of Hebrews is going to tell us that we have a great high priest. The scripture says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. The heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. This passage tells us that Jesus is the great high priest, that He is unique. He is greater than any other priest that has ever existed or will exist. He is above all. When you think of the greatness of anything in this life, He is even greater. The scripture says that He is our great high priest. And it's important for us to understand that because the original recipients of this particular letter were predominantly Jewish. They understood the concept of what it meant to be a priest and the need for a priest. Now, we look at it nowadays from a Catholicism type of aspect, but we've lost some translation there. So for the Jews, this was very important because in order for the Jews to worship God in the Old Testament, they had to have a mediator. They had to have an advocate. They had to have essentially someone who would present them before God. And how that happened was there was a sacrifice that was made. And so in order for God's people to have a connection, to have a bridge for him, with him, they had to have a mediator. And the reason why they had to have a mediator is because the enormous gulf that separated God from man. You see, God is a holy God, and man is not holy. There is a sin problem that we have. And so once a year, the high priest, the Day of Atonement, would go into the holiest of holies after a sacrifice was made in order to bridge that gap between man's sin and God. Well, the problem with that system in the Old Testament was you had to do it year after year after year. There was still separation between God and man. Well, everything changed when Jesus came into the picture. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus entered the world, he changed that system. Why? Because he was the final sacrifice. He fully fulfilled the requirements of a perfect sacrifice. And the scripture says that he was the Son of God, and that tells us that he was 100% deity, 100% God. And then the Son part tells us that he was human. He was like us. And the scripture is telling us that Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice for us. When Jesus laid down his life for our sins on the cross, and when you put your faith in Jesus, you are made fully and completely clean. Listen, that has nothing to do with how you feel. Because some of us this morning probably don't feel very clean because of something that happened last night or this morning or last week. But if you are a child of God, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are fully and completely clean. And think about what that truth means to us. The awesomeness of who Jesus is, how does that apply to me today? And this is the application point that I want you to understand. Because of Jesus and how awesome he is, I should cling to him in faith. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal to some of us, maybe. But think about the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Think about the challenges that we face. And for this original audience, these recipients, they were in very trying times. They were facing great persecution. And the author of Hebrews says this: since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That phrase, hold fast, means to hold firm to grab a hold of, literally to fight for this. That word confession means literally to say the same thing. And when you agree with what the Bible says about Jesus, the author of Hebrews says, don't just know the truths about Jesus. Don't just believe the truths about Jesus, but seize to it. Cling to it. It's the place where you put your trust. It's the place where you place your dependency and your faith. It is on the awesomeness of who Jesus Christ is and what he has accomplished for you and I as his children. And if you think about the original audience, the persecution that they were facing, the trials that they were facing, just about everyone around them was telling them, leave that behind. That new way of living with Jesus, again, first century Christians, is that really working for you? Leave it behind. Cling to the old ways of life. Cling to the old things that you thought brought meaning and purpose and security and comfort and all those things. And it was an incredible challenge for them. But I believe 2,000 years down the road where we are today, it's also a very incredible challenge for us. Because everything is attacking your ability to hold fast to Jesus. Some of the things are of the world, but I think a lot of the things are the very pride that we carry in our own lives. And it's our own pride many times that causes us not to cling to Jesus. But you think about what the author of Hebrews is telling us. He's reminding us and challenging us of this mission of perseverance. You know, perseverance is a beautiful word. And as a Christian, we have the ability to persevere through the situations of life, not because of our own strength, but because of our great high priest's strength. That Jesus Christ in the flesh has come into our world, into our darkness. He is the sacrifice that bridges us back to God. And so when we think about that great gap between us and God and how it is completely healed because of Jesus, there is nothing in this world, no circumstance that we may face, no suffering or trial that we face where we do it on our own, that Jesus is in the midst of all those things. You know, sometimes we aren't aware of the things that we cling on to life, but if you've experienced hardship in life, it kind of opens your eyes, doesn't it? And I think what the author of Hebrews is saying is, because Jesus is so awesome, and he has satisfied the payment for our sin debt, again, you cling to him. You hold fast to him. The other truth that we see in this particular passage about our great high priest, who is Jesus, is this: I have a great high priest who fully understands. Now, this is another level to this awesomeness of who Jesus is, because not only does Jesus provide the very foundation for our faith, the atonement, the ability to have a relationship with God, but the scripture also tells us that he understands. And how does the author of Hebrews paint that picture in verse 15? He says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Our high priest has experienced every category of temptation that you and I can possibly face. I didn't say every single temptation, but every category of temptation. And yet he did not what? He did not sin. He did not sin physically. He did not sin emotionally or mentally. He was perfect in every aspect. And that word sympathize literally means to suffer with. And just think about that for a moment. When you go through a hard time as a child of God, when you understand the word that the Hebrew writer uses here to sympathize, it means that Jesus, in the midst of our suffering, is doing what? Is suffering with us. How is that possible? Because even though he was fully God, he was also what? He was fully man. He experienced the attacks of Satan. He experienced the loneliness. He experienced the hardships of life. He experienced those times where he was an outcast by many. He experienced all those emotions, all the storms that we face in this life. And he understands our brokenness. Why? Because in many ways, he experienced brokenness. When you read John 17 and his prayer to the Father, and you see his desire to honor his Father, and yet knowing what is before him, the cross, he sweats drops of blood because he's in agony. He understands our brokenness, and based on that truth, the fact that he experienced every category of temptation that you and I could ever face, and yet he did not sin. Here's the application for us this morning. I should run to his compassion when I am weak. You run to his compassion when you are weak. When there is intimidation or illness, when there is fear or worry, when there is anxiety or anger, where there is doubt or deception, where there is frailty or failure, where there is temptation or weakness, he is there with us. With the very purest of all compassion, it is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus knows our frustrations. He knows our struggles. He knows what we need. He knows our weaknesses. And because he fully understands, think about the weight that is removed from us. We can come to him in complete honesty. We can actually be real with Jesus, because the scripture says that he understands our weaknesses. He understands the things that we walk through. You can literally lay all the cards down of your life before Him. And when you lay all those cards down before Him, that means you can lay aside all your guilt, all your shame. And what do you receive in return? You receive great compassion. And you also receive His strength. You see, you can run to Him. Why? Because He is the great high priest. He is one who knows His people. He fully understands. And so the question is for us this morning, where are we running to? You see how important it is to get a hold of the first truth, the awesomeness of who Jesus Christ is as our great high priest, because that is the thing that we cling to. And when we learn to cling to that in faith, when we are going through hard times, if it's because of our own sin or somebody else's sin or whatever, we learn in faith to run to Him. Why? Because He is compassion. He has compassion in our weakness. And that leads us to the third truth. It gets better. The third truth is this. I have a great high priest who grants me full access. Full access. Now again, the people in the Old Testament, they didn't have full access to God. They had to go through a mediator. They had to go through the high priest. He was the only one that could enter the presence of the Lord. You know, when I think about that full access, the granting of full access, I'm reminded of some of the apps that you can put on your phone or your tablet. Our kids love to put different games on the tablet or the app. And my first instinct is, all right, what's it about? What's it rated? Is there going to be any issues with the game? And then the last one is it free, right? It's got to be free. I'm not paying for any of that stuff. The issue with free apps is what? They have in-app purchases. In order to get more access to the app, you have to buy stuff. And if you're not careful, mom and dad, you can get swindoozled in some of those purchases. My youngest daughter, Eliza, she was doing some slushy game. I don't know how to make desserts or something. And she needed a new flavor or something. And I'm thinking, all right, well, I'll download it for you. Well, right when I hit the button, it said $4.99. So thankfully, I was able to reverse that because I did not want to pay $4.99 for a slushy that I would never get to enjoy myself. But think about that for a minute. It's so frustrating when you're trying to use a free app and yet it's requiring purchases to get the full effect. Well, they got to make money. I understand that. But when you think about our relationship with the Lord, we have full access because of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In our helplessness, in our time of need, we can approach the throne of God with confidence. That throne is not just a place of power, because that's what the throne shows us, is there's authority there. It's not just a place of power and a place of authority. The scripture says it's a place of what? It's a place of amazing grace. Listen, church, we can go to Jesus anytime, anywhere. But yet we don't live that way. Many times He's the last person that we turn to. And Jesus says, because I am your great high priest, you have full access to the Father. What is the application for us based on that truth? The application is this: I should receive His invitation every day. And really, that's what verse 16 is. It's an invitation. The author says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That phrase, draw near, is in the present tense, and so it means over and over continuously, draw near to Him. Literally, keep drawing near. We can enter into His presence when we are fearful, when we are experiencing pain, when we are in emotional turmoil, when we are facing the uncertainties of life. And yes, church, when we have committed sin, we don't have to go to a man. We can go to the great high priest, Jesus. We can go straight to Him. There is no barrier. any longer. The veil has been ripped apart. There is no longer separation. And the scripture says that we can do so with confidence. Not confidence in the sense of arrogance or pride, but in confidence because of the very promises of God, because of who He is. That's the confidence that we have. We can come to Him in confidence because of who He is. We can come freely. We can come continually. We can come filled with incredible hope and great expectation. How many of us enter prayer time with the Lord overcome with more doubt than faith? Overcome with more, it's not going to happen, instead of great expectation. I'm not telling you you put faith in your circumstances. I'm saying you put your faith in Jesus Christ. He gives us full access. It's where you and I, daily, if we receive that invitation, can experience the very power and peace of Jesus Christ. We can approach the throne of grace with fullest confidence that we may receive mercy for what? Our failures. Think about that for a minute. When we fail, Jesus says, I grant you full access. So we receive mercy for our failures and grace to help in our hour of need. It is literally His grace at just the right time. You ever experienced that before? Where you just didn't know how it was going to go down or what was going to happen. And just at the right time, when you've postured yourself before Him, you get grace. You receive His grace at just the right time. You discover that His grace is sufficient, that it is sustaining, that it is strengthening, and it is very supportive. Christians are able to approach the throne of God with boldness because it is no longer a throne of judgment, but a throne of grace. Things have drastically and dramatically changed. When you are facing a trial or temptation, do not turn to your sinful ways. Turn to His mercy and grace. Call on Him. Why? Because you are no longer a fugitive. You are now a part of His family. You have full access. As we close this morning, I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. And I just want you to think about this passage for a moment. This passage gives us two great exhortations, two great commands. One, to hold fast to Jesus. And number two, to draw near to the throne of grace with confidence, with openness, with honesty, with freedom. Why? Because He is full of compassion. He knows and understands what you are going through. We can enter His throne. We have access. As a born-again believer, you are not just converted. You are His child. And as His child, you have access. Speaking to Christians this morning primarily, in faith, are you willing to hold fast to Christ? Are you willing to approach Him with great confidence because of the very promises that are found in Him? Listen, I don't know what you came in here with this morning, but you have the option of leaving it here and taking Him home with you. I don't know what brought you in here this morning, but I do know what keeps us going. It's the Father's love. It's what's represented at the Lord's table. It's the Father's love that is displayed through His Son Jesus as our great high priest. He paid your debt. He understands. He understands. And in your weakness, He gives great compassion. Will you choose the invitation every day to get the full access of the Lord in your life? Now, you may be here and you may not be a believer in Jesus Christ. All this is new to you. Well, first and foremost, I want to say that Jesus died for your sins. And it's His incredible sacrifice that gives you the ability to have what your heart desperately longs for. No matter where you're searching, no matter where you are running, it is only found in a personal relationship with Him. I would like to offer you that invitation because of Jesus. If you are interested in knowing more about Jesus, if you have felt the Spirit's work in your life this morning and you want to give your heart to the Lord, I would love to hear it. We would love to partner with you. If you're here and you're already a believer, and have you realized the awesomeness of who Jesus is as our great high priest? Have you realized that even in the midst of your weakness, and yes, we have great weakness, He is full of compassion. And have you realized and taken advantage of the full access that we have because of Him? There is no barrier, church. Don't let Satan deceive you. Do not let him trick you. So as we stand and sing right now, as we worship Him, I invite you to respond in faith. You can come forward and pray. You can pray and sing where you're at. But let this be a motivation for us as we prepare our hearts today.